Okay. Good to see everybody. Let's there we go. Good to see everybody. Today is a special day on the Vaishnava, in the Vaishnav calendar. It is Guru Purnima, first day also of Chaturmasha, fast from spinach for a month, and is also the disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami, and also the day that Bhakti Churu Maharaj passed away from this world. So there's several things that happen on this day. So basically, we're going to speak about Sanatan Goswami this evening, and later, we'll end a little bit before the hour is up, because I have a program in the temple for Bhakti Churu Maharaj, and let's see, that will be this evening, okay, this evening or this morning, Guru Purnima. Actually, definitely, we usually celebrate the spiritual master on his or her appearance day. And that's what we usually do in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Guru Purnima is not as prominent as the appearance day or the disappearance day of a great Vaishnava. So we're going to chant, of course, in honor of Sanatan Goswami, the prayers to the departed Vaishnava or Vaishnavas. It's called Saparshna Gora Viraha Vilapa, which means lamentation due to the separation from the Lord and his associates. And this is from Narottama Das Thakur's poetry book. Name is Prarthana. So, and for those of you who don't know by that name, it's the first line is Ye Anilo Premadana Korana Prachur. Yanino Premadana Korana Prachur. Prabhu Khut Kela Charya Tamur Surupa Kasanata Kakatasa Corona Brothers. Paramahansa Paramahacharya also Teta Satishi Shima, his divine race. Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Jai Namacharya Shibahida Stakur Vijay Rem Se Gahoji Prabhu Nityananda Shiat Vita Gadad Pani Shivasati Gaurakta Vrinda Gajaya Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopinath Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Vijay Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yumanamai Kijai Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Okta Prindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bol Welcoming Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tsunamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. Volume is weak. Should be all right now. It adjusts itself automatically as we go along, because I was chanting really loud during the kirtan, and that's why. Okay, so let's see. It's fine. Okay, so let me read the translation of this Vaishnava prayer. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where my Swarup Damodara Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna's Kavi Raj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So as I mentioned, today is Guru Purnima, which is Sanatana Goswami's disappearance day, the first day of the Chaturmasya period, spinach fast. And it is also the commemoration of the disappearance day of His Holiness Bhakti Churmarish, and I'm going to be doing a program, participating in a program for him in less than an hour. So basically what we're going to be speaking about tonight is Sanatana Goswami, the story of Sanatana Goswami. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Un Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So now we're going to speak about Sanatana Goswami, and we'll also tell the story about Madan Mohan. First, I'm going to read a verse written by Raghunath Das Goswami, who glorifies Sanatana Goswami in his Vilap Kushmanjali, the sixth verse, and this is as follows. Vairagya yugbhakti rasambrayat nair apayayanam avipsumandam vipambudirya paradukaduke sanatanastam prabhum ashrayami. Raghunath Das Goswami has glorified Sanatana Goswami in his Vilapa Kusmanjali, and here is the translation. I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service, possessed of renunciation, but Sanatana Goswami, out of his causeless mercy, made me drink it, even though I was unable to do so. Therefore, he is an ocean of mercy. He is very much compassionate to fallen souls like me, and thus it is my duty to offer respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet and take shelter of him. And just another fact, in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, Sanatana Goswami's ontological position, that means who he was in the in Krishna Leela. And the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika is the book written by Kavi Karnapur, who was the son of Shivananda Sen, who got Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. So here's the information. So Rupa Goswami, of course, was known as Rupa Manjari. And Sanatana Goswami is known by the names both Rati Manjari and Lavanga Manjari. So let's explain what a Manjari is. A Manjari is a young, that means pre-pubescent girl, who is able to help Radha and Krishna in his most intimate loving exchanges. And because they are innocent, of course, all the gopis are innocent because of their extreme young age, they're able to be there where Radha and Krishna are having their intimate loving exchanges. So Sanatana Goswami is the brother of Rupa Goswami and their other brother's name, Sri Vallabha or Anupama. And Sanatana Goswami is most famous for composing the following books: the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is basically a book of directions on Vaishnava behavior, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Also, let me just mention, the Hari Bhakti Vilas was mentioned, was composed to a certain degree to attract people in ritualistic Brahminical culture to come to Krishna consciousness. So not all the injunctions of Hari Bhakti Vilas are applicable for everyone. Some of them are applicable for people who are preaching to extreme ritualistic Brahmins, and some of them are not applicable, let's say, in the Western world. For example, there's injunctions there to not eat carrots. And, Prabhupada ate carrots anyway, and he made things like carrot halwa and everything like that for the devotees. So let's continue. Anyway, so Hari Bhakti Vilas, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which basically has two stories, the story of Narada Muni looking for the best devotee of the Lord, and the story of Gopakumar trying to find his ontological position. And then, after Dasana Tipani, which is a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically the 10th canto, and that's also known as the Brihad Vaishnava Toshane, and also known as the Dashama Charita. So, Sanatana Goswami, a little history. He appeared in the year 1488. So he was the older brother. Rupa Goswami appeared about 5 years after Sanatana Goswami. And his father, Sanatana Goswami's father, had three sons. Vallabha was the youngest son. Rupa was the next oldest. And Sanatana was the oldest. And as far as Vallabha, the youngest son, Jiva Goswami, was the son of the youngest son or youngest brother of Sanatana Rupa Goswami. So Sanatana Rupa Goswami were given the names or initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they became his disciples. And some say that their original names were Amara and Santosh, respectively. And Amara, of course, would be Sanatana Goswami, and Santosh would be Rupa Goswami. So what happened is that Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and Anupama, they worked for the Nawab Hussein Shah. That means the ruler of Bengal, who was a Muslim, of course. Now, even though they were from a very high-class Brahminical family, Saraswati Brahmin family, they decided to work for him because this king or ruler threatened to hurt the Vaishnavas. You know, he's just like, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to hurt the Vaishnavas unless you actually work for me. And so they agreed. And so they became known as Dabir Kash, which was, that was Rupa Goswami, which means revenue officer. And Sanatana Goswami, Sri Balava was the chief superintendent of the Royal Mint. So anyway, so as the employees of the Muslim government, they made their headquarters in a place named Ramakeli, which was the capital of Bengal at that particular point. They were both really accomplished scholars. Actually, they were scholars in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. They knew so many different languages, like Orient, and Hindi, of course, and Sanskrit. And they learned philosophy and scripture from the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whose name was Vijaya Chaspati. And Vijaya Chaspati would often stay in Ramakeli and instruct the three brothers. So these three brothers, Sanatana, Rupa, and Anupama, were absorbed in Krishna consciousness from their early childhood. They used to play, even though they were in Bengal, they would play that they were in the different forests of Vrindavan, and they had Tulsi trees surrounding their childhood homes. And they named the ponds near their childhood home as Shyamakund and Radhakund. And they, when they were young, they heard the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they were told by an inner voice, you must be patient. Soon you will have darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even when Sanatana Goswami was young, many miraculous things occurred. One time when he was very young, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a Brahmin. And that Brahmin gave him Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Sanatana Goswami had that dream of the Brahmin giving him the Srimad Bhagavatam, his hair stood up in ecstasy. And then the dream broke. But then when he woke up, shortly thereafter, he saw that Brahmin and the Bhagavatam was not there. You know, the next morning after he bathed, while he was seated for worshiping the Lord, another Brahmin appeared carrying the Bhagavatam. Standing near Sanatana, the Brahmin said, take this Bhagavatam, all we study in its perfection will be yours. And saying this, the Brahmin gave him the Bhagavat and went away. From that day on, Sanatana Goswami was very devoted to the Bhagavatam, you know, basically mainly focused on that as the essence of all scriptures. So when Rupa and Sanatana and Anupama heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas and was planning to go to Puri, Rupa and Sanatana basically got very upset and fainted because they thought that they would never get a chance to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they thought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have left or wasn't going to come back to Bengal. But they heard a voice, you know, inner voice, and it said, don't be in anxiety, Lord Chaitanya or Sri Gauranga will come there. Eventually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did visit Ramakeli. And it was a little controversial because the Mohammedan king was aware of him And he was thinking, you know, he must be a prophet. And the king sort of had a soft heart at that point. And he told the magistrate in the district, don't disturb this Hindu prophet out of jealousy. Let him do what he wants. So the king actually had some realizations about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but still, Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, they were a little in anxiety about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence in this Muslim kingdom. So beneath a tree on the banks of the Ganges, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped to rest, and he was accompanied by his intimate associates like Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, when they heard he was there right outside of the village of Ramakeli, they approached him, took straw in their teeth, and they bound a cloth around their neck, and they fell down, dandavats, before the Supreme Court. Straw in the teeth indicates that one is taking a very humble position. And Lord Chaitanya asked them to get up, and basically they composed this verse, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gurusay Namaha. And they felt very ashamed standing before these two brothers. And they said that they were lower than Jagai Madai, because Jagai Madai belonged to a Brahmin caste. And they committed a lot of sins, but they never served local-ass persons. In other words, they probably did, but that was actually Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Anuttama's prayer to say that we're more degraded because we served, or we are servants of meat eaters. Actually, Jagat Mali were probably vegetarian dacoits at that point. And Lord Chaitanya revealed that Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami were his eternal servants, and he initiated them that day as Rupa and Sanatana. And he said, have no fear. At birth after birth, you've been my eternal servants, and I'm sure that Lord Krishna will deliver you. Hold on a second. I just want to check one thing. Okay. Got it under control. And Srupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami advised Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu two things. You better get out of here because the Muslim ruler can't be trusted. And also they said, we know you're on your way to Vrindavan right now, but it's not appropriate for you to go to Vrindavan now because the ambience in Vrindavan should be one of simplicity and beauty, and it's going to be ruined if you go with this whole big crowd. So thinking in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri. And actually later on, he went to Vrindavan, but he only went with one servant, Bhadra Bhattacharya. So then Rupa Goswami, he was able to leave without much difficulty, but Sanatana Goswami had some difficulty in freeing himself from the government duties. And what happened is that he feigned illness. And actually what he was doing was listening to the Bhagavatam with devotees and brahmanas at home. And the Nawab Hussein Shah became very suspicious. And he sent a doctor there, and the doctor said, Sanatana is not sick. So the Nawab went there and said, you have to get back to work and you have to accompany me. And Sanatana said, going to conquer other kingdoms to give trouble to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned, and Rupa Goswami had kept some money for emergencies like that with a grocer in the word banks at that particular time. So Sanatana Goswami was able to make use of some of that money to bribe his way out of jail. And also he used his intelligence to convince the jailer that if you liberate someone, you get liberated too. And he gave the jailer a good excuse, so the jailer wouldn't get in any trouble. He said, tell me Sanatana went to the river, jumped in the river, and he drowned, which wasn't true. And Sanatan Goswami assured the jailer that he wasn't going to go back to Bengal, that he wouldn't get in trouble, that he was going to go to Mecca. Obviously, Sanatan Goswami was not going to go to Mecca because he wasn't a Muslim at this particular point. He wasn't Muslim ever. So then he left for Benares to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the way to Benares, Sanatan Goswami stopped at a hotel. Sanatan Goswami had a servant. His name was Ishan. And asked the hotel for directions on how to get hotel keeper, how to get over the hill that was right there. And the hotel keeper, he had an expert palmist or astrologer who knew that Sanatan Goswami's servant had 8 gold coins. Sanatan Goswami, being very intelligent and knowing about politics, understood that something was happening. So he asked Ishan, his servant, as to whether he had any money. And Ishan said, I had 7 gold coins. He lied to Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami took those 7 gold coins, gave them to the hotel keeper, and said, you know, it's dangerous for us to have this. You can have this money. And so the hotel keeper actually was a little sentimental at that point and helped them through the jungle and over the mountains. And then he proceeded to Benares. But on the way, he sent Ishan away because Ishan was not very favorable or faithful, and he had lied to Sanatan Goswami. So on the way, Sanatan Goswami met his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law gave him a very, very fine wooden blanket, I guess a shawl. So finally, Sanatan Goswami reached Benares, and he went to the house of Chandrasekhara, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. And when he knocked on the door, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's a Vaishnava at your door. And Chandrasekhara went to the door, and he saw someone who he thought was a Muslim. He said, well, there's a Muslim fakir at the door. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, he's a devotee. Because Sanatan Goswami had not shaved for some time. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatan Goswami, accepted some old cloth from Tapan Mishra, and he shaved up. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept looking at him with this shawl, this very opulent, fine shawl. Sanatan Goswami understood that a sannyasi should not be wearing expensive clothes or have expensive paraphernalia. So Sanatan Goswami went to the river and he traded the blanket to a poor man who we met in the Ganges in exchange for a torn quilt. The poor man could hardly understand why Sanatan Goswami was doing this. And Lord Chaitanya was very, very pleased. So at this particular point in Benares, Sanatan Goswami was enlightened in all the different truths, the tattvas, the siddhantas, the rasa, and lila of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he ordered him to write books in devotional service to establish the proper practices of devotees and stall deities and reveal the proper methods of deity worship and excavate the holy places of Vrindavan. And so we mentioned some of his books before, like the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Pai Bhakti Vilas. Here's more of the story about Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami sort of missed Rupa Goswami the first time he went to Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami had already left and went to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also went to Bengal to finish some business. So then Sanatan Goswami went to Jagannath Puri through this place called Jarakanda, which is the jungle on the way to Jagannath Puri from Vrindavan, Jarakanda. And in this jungle, he had to drink water that was contaminated, didn't have proper diet. So he contracted a skin disease in which there were running sores all over his body, like boils and running sores. And so he thought, you know, I'm here seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's embracing me. I'm committing offenses. So I should commit suicide by jumping under the wheels of the Jagannath Ratha Yatra cart. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew what he was thinking. And he said, if I thought I could achieve Krishna's mercy by committing suicide, I'd be prepared to leave his body or give up his body many, many, many times. And Sanatana Goswami resided with Haridas Thakur and had the association of Haridas Thakur. So what happened in a very interesting fashion was the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept embracing Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami at one point thought, you know, I have to leave Vrindavan. Jagadananda Pandit advised Sanatana Goswami to leave Vrindavan so he wouldn't commit any more offenses, because he wasn't committing offenses. And then Sanatana Goswami told this to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised Jagadananda Pandit and said that actually this Jaga is just a young boy, and you are capable, Sanatana Goswami, of giving advice to him and even giving advice to me. So later on, Lord Chaitanya tested Sanatana Goswami. He asked Sanatana Goswami to come to see him on the opposite side of the temple. There were two paths by which Sanatana Goswami could join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One path was by the Singha Dwara gate, the main gate of the temple. The other path was on the beach. And it was a very hot day, and the sand on the beach was like cinders. I mean, very, very hot. They would burn anyone's feet who walked on them. And Sanatana Goswami took the path by the beach because he didn't want to commit offenses to those like the pujaris who'd be entering through the main gate of the Jagannath temple. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana Goswami, why your feet have blisters? And Sanatana Goswami explained, I came by the sand path. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I've been embracing you because basically you and Haridas Thakur are like my children, out of love. Also, when I embrace you, I don't smell anything, foul smells. It's like Shatushama, the sores on your body, because Sanatana Goswami had a spiritual body. Try to remember that too. So, and then he embraced Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami's body became completely free of any sores. Eventually, Sanatana Goswami was sent back to Vrindavan to carry out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of establishing or reestablishing the holy places, worshiping the deities, and Nana Shastra Vichara Nakinipano, Sadharma Sam Stapako, establishing the eternal religious principles by studying and compiling all the revealed scriptures to come up with what's called Sanatan Dharma, Sat Dharma Samstapako, that means establishing eternal religious principles, or Sanatan Dharma, rather than simply writing on things that were temporary adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance. So then, while Sanatana Goswami was residing in Vrindavan, he resided on this hill called the Dvadasadicha Tila, which means 12 suns, because that's where Krishna dried off after kicking the heads of the Kaliya serpent. So the sun shone with 12 times normal brilliance. So he was residing there, and he remembered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders to establish the worship of a deity of Krishna. So he didn't have time to do that. So what happened is one day while he was performing his daily bhajan, and he was going out begging, came to a small village on the banks of the Yamuna, and Madan Mohan, that is Krishna, was playing on the river with some small boys. When this Madan Mohan, Krishna, saw Sanatana, he cried out, oh, father, Baba. That's what it means, Baba. He came running after Sanatana Goswami and grabbed hold of his hand. And he said, take me with you. I want to go with you. And Sanatana Goswami said, little boy, why do you want to go with me? And the boy said, I want to stay with you. If you stay with me, what will you eat? Boy said, what do you eat? Only some dry chapatis and coarse rice. Boy said, then I will also eat that, Paula. Even if you could eat like that, you can't stay with me. You must stay with your mother and father. But Baba, I want to stay with you. So Sanatana Goswami finally sent the boy home and continued chanting his rounds. That night, in a dream, the same boy appeared. The boy was laughing again and again. He took hold of Sanatana's hand and told him, Baba, my name is Madan Mohan. Tomorrow I shall come to you. So there's a whole story about that Madan Mohan Didi. That Madan Mohan Didi was later, found by Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya was very, very attached to this Madan Mohan Didi. However, the Muslims were attacking at that time when Advaitacharya was there. And he was instructed, that means Advaitacharya was instructed, to give Madan Mohan to a Brahmin family in Mathura. I guess the last name of the Brahmin family was Chobi Brahmin family. And so this Brahmin family in Mathura took care of Madan Mohan just like their son. In other words, they had another son. And that son played with Madan Mohan and talked to Madan Mohan. And when it was time to eat, they sat Madan Mohan. And they didn't have a dinner table, obviously. But they sat Madan Mohan right next to their son and put the plate or the leaf plate in front of them. And their son and Madan Mohan were buddies and they would eat together. So one time Sanatana Goswami was doing madukari. Madukari means going from house to house, begging a little food, which was traditional for the Bahudak order of sannyas, Kutichak, Bahudak, Parvajakacharya, Paramahansa. Anyway, madukari is called. So he went out and he went to their house and he saw how they were worshiping the deity. And he instructed this Chobe family, including the wife there, you can't worship the deity like that. He has to be on an altar and you have to serve him with awe and reverence. And so they said, yes, Swamiji. And of course, they weren't able to do that. But still, that night, Sanatana Goswami had a dream. He was back in Dwadasadicha Hill and he had a dream. And in that dream, the deity said, you know, I want to come to you. And Sanatana Goswami is not going to work. But the Chobe Brahmin, the man of the house in Mathura, also had a dream, and he was ordered by Madan Mohan to bring, actually the deity's name was Madan Gopal at that time, sorry. He later on became Madan Mohan in the possession or under the care of Sanatana Goswami. So he brought Madan Gopal to Sanatana Goswami, and here, if this is Madan Gopal's order, you got to take care of him. And Sanatana Goswami said, I don't have time. You know, I'm just eating very, very simply, you know, dried bread balls cooked in the sun. And so, but he accepted that and he sort of made a little swing or altar from a tree, from the tree, you know. So I guess Madan Mohan was sort of hanging from the tree. But yeah, I'm sure it was nice. And so Madan Mohan complained, I'm just getting these dry bread balls. Can I have some salt? And Sanatana Goswami said, I don't have time to get you salt. I'm following Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. I'm writing all the time. And now you're asking for salt, Prabhupada tells the story. Soon you'll be asking for butter. I mean, I just can't do this. So Sanatana Goswami just said, you know, if you want salt, you got to get it for yourself. So Madan Mohan got salt for himself because there was a wealthy merchant who had a salt barge, and that salt barge was stuck on the sandbar of the Jamuna. And he didn't know what to do. And he saw Sanatana Goswami on top of this hill. He went to Sanatana Goswami and asked Sanatana Goswami, please help me. And Sanatana Goswami said, I can't get involved in this. You should talk to Madan Mohan. So he went to Madan Mohan and said, Madan Mohan, if you give me your mercy and allow this boat to be freed from the sandbar and I'm able to make some money, I will give you the money under the guidance of Sanatana Goswami and you can have a temple. So all of a sudden, within the next few hours, there was a tremendous storm, so much water. The boat rose and was freed and went to Mathura and was able to sell its load of salt. And all the money was used to build the temple, Madan Mohan, the temple and the kitchen and all the facilities that they had at that particular time. So Madan Mohan arranged for his own facility. Because Madan Mohan is the predominating deity of Sambandhagyan. Sambandhagyan means understanding the relationships, the different tattvas, and the relationships between the different tattvas. So here's some other interesting story about Sanatana Goswami. One day, Sanatana Goswami went to Radhakund to see Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami, and they were three of them were talking. It's called an Ishtagoshti discussion about Krishna. And they heard a particular sloka that Rupa Goswami had written. And in that sloka that Rupa Goswami has written, it was about Radharani. He was describing Radharani's complexion. Therefore, you're known as Gaurangi. Your dress is beautiful like a blue lotus. And he said, your long braid of hair resembles a black serpent decorated with jewels. Sanatan saw that and he said, serpent, black hair? Is this a reasonable comparison, metaphor? How can you compare Radharani's hair to a serpent? He didn't think it was appropriate. So that afternoon, Sanatana Goswami went to Radhakund to take his bath. And he offered prayers to Radhakund, et cetera, et cetera. And then he could see some gopis. Girls, you know, coward girls. We're not talking about, well, they were gopis, playing. And he looked at them and he saw on the back of a girl's head was what he thought was a snake. It was actually a long black dangling braid. And he thought, it's a snake. And he said, oh, young girl, careful, there's a snake creeping up your back. The girl took no notice. She couldn't hear him. And he went running up to her to try to save her. And so the girl was Radharani, Srimati Radharani. They all started laughing at him. And they laughed and laughed and laughed without stopping. Sanatana Goswami was dumbstruck. Then he understood that Srila Rupa Goswami was correct. Another story. Once upon a time, Sanatana Goswami was alone in the forest on the banks of a particular lake. He performed his bhajan, been fasting from food and drink. And Krishna was thinking, you know, I got to supply some food to my devotee. So in the dress of a coward boy, Krishna entered the forest where Sanatana was staying, carrying a pot of milk. He said, Baba, I brought you some milk. And Sanatana said, why you brought milk? You're not eating properly, that's why. How did you know I'm not eating anything? And he said, my friends come here. They told me you haven't been eating. Why didn't they come? And Sanatana Goswami, because they work at home, they sent me. Sanatana Goswami said, you're such a little boy. Why have you taken so much trouble for me? And the little boy said, no, father, it's no trouble at all. Sanatana Goswami took the pot of milk and said, sit down, little boy. I will finish the milk and give you back your pot. And the little boy said, no, Baba, I cannot sit with you. I have to milk cows. I will come and fetch the pot tomorrow. Saying this, the boy vanished and Sanatana just became shocked. He understood that was Krishna. So from that day on, he didn't do too much fasting, except on fast days. He would practice Madhukari. Madhukari, as I mentioned before, is like a bee that takes a little bit of pollen or honey from each flower and only accepted a tiny bit from the different residents of Vrindavan. And eventually, the residents of Vrindavan built him a bhajan kutir. Another famous story is one day Rupa Goswami wanted to prepare sweet rice for Sanatana Goswami. He didn't have the necessary ingredients. And because he wanted to do that, Srimati Radharani understood everything. And in the dress of a young girl, she brought him all the ingredients. And Rupa Goswami said, you know, why'd you come here? And she explained everything. I want to accept, give service to a saintly person. So he cooked all this. And Rupa Goswami saw that she disappeared, but he didn't think too much of it at that point. He prepared the sweet rice, offered to his deity, Govindadev, and he gave this to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami experienced complete ecstasy. He said, where'd you get this milk from it? And the rice? And Rupa Goswami said, a young girl gave it to me. Sanatana Goswami said, what did she look like? And Rupa Goswami said, you know, describe what she looked like. And he said, I was just thinking, how can I prepare some sweet rice for you? And Sanatana Goswami chastised him, saying, it was Srimati Radharani herself who brought you milk and rice. By accepting service from her, we are ruined. We shall never attain our desired goal of Krishna consciousness. So Sanatana Goswami very humbly chastised himself for accepting this service, and also Rupa Goswami for accepting the service from Srimati Radharani. Also, Sanatana Goswami took a vow to go around the 40-mile pilgrimage around Govardhan Hill every day. But as he got older, it was very hard for him. He would suffer great physical pain while circumambulating Govardhan. So the Lord decided to do something about this. As a little Gopa boy, he said to Sanatana Goswami, Baba, you are old. Don't go to so much trouble walking around Govardhan Hill. Sanatana Goswami said, it's one of the principles of my bhajan. I must maintain it. Sanatana Goswami said, I will never give up my religious principles. And then the little boy said, why don't you honor my words? At that time, Krishna presented Sanatana Goswami with a Govardhan Shila. And that Govardhan Shila has the mark of Krishna's own lotus feet. And he said, this Govardhan Shila is a piece of stone from Govardhan itself. And Sanatana Goswami said, what shall I do with it? Krishna said, if you circumambulate this Govardhan Shila, your vow walking all the way around Govardhan Hill every day will remain intact. For by circumambulating this, you circumambulate Govardhan Hill. You will thereby get the same result, keep your vow intact, and not compromise your religious principles. So Sanatana Goswami was silenced at that point. You know, wow. You can understand that Giri Raj himself had given him the Govardhan Shila. And from that day forward, he used to circumambulate the Govardhan Shila, which had the marks of the lotus feet of Krishna. So also, obviously, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami did not climb Govardhan Hill because they considered, and it is not different from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still they wanted to see Gopal, who was still there. Later on, Gopal became Srinathji and moved to Nathwar. But anyway, Gopal was still there, worshipped on top of Govardhan Hill. So on the pretext means excuse, of the Muslims attacking, sometimes the Gopal deity was brought down from the hill and put in Mathura or in someone's house. And at that time, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami got a chance to take darshan of Gopal. So in other words, Gopal made an arrangement so Sanatana Goswami could take darshan of him. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. And we are very fortunate to have this information about Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami and we are servants of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And our whole understanding of Krishna consciousness is due to the books of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who have given us the Srimad Bhagavatam, other literatures like Rupa Goswami's A Nectar of Instruction, and the Nectar of Devotion, which is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is Sanatana Goswami's books. So today we offer our respects to these great personalities. So thank you very much. So I'm going to have to leave in a second. We'll just take one question. Whoops, what happened here? Oh, okay. We'll just take one. Hold on a second. Ah, I see the microphone switched. That was a problem. Okay, so we'll just take one question and I will unmute you all. Let's see. If anyone has a question, real quick, I'll just 2 minutes because I have to go to the temple right now. Raise your hand or unmute yourself. Oh, I guess Rakesh. Okay, real quick.
Which next book would we be reading?
You will find out when we read it. I haven't decided yet. Okay, so yes, we have a commemoration ceremony for His Holiness Bhakti Churu Maharaj, who disappeared on this particular day. So we are going to the temple to commemorate this day with the different devotees. And it's very, very important. Bhakti Churu Maharaj was my dear friend. And we are lamenting that we are separated from him now. But as servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, we are eternally connected together. So thank you very much. We'll see everybody tomorrow for the Chaitanya Charitamrita reading. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.